Lecture topic, The Essence of Deen.
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولما ورد ماء مدين وجد عليه أمة من الناس يسقون ووجد من دونهم امرأتين تذودان قال ما خطبكما قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and elders, amongst the many favors that Allah Rabbul Izzat had favored and endowed Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, amongst those favors one was Allah had favored him with concise speech. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, "Utitu jawami al-kalim." The words of Nabiya alayhi sallam were very concise, yet very comprehensive and voluminous. So the words were very few, yet voluminous in its meaning. And the hadith that I have quoted is a manifestation of the statement of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many a times we are asked by Muslim, by non-Muslims, or people that are not acquainted with Islam, tell me something about your deen. In a nutshell, in 2 minutes, you met the man, he says, all right, introduce Islam. So we mumbling, and we don't know what to say, where to start, where to end. In 2 words, in a nutshell, the Nabi of Allah defines Islam. Sahaba asked, O Nabi of Allah, what is Islam? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to make it and to condense it, ad-deenu an-nasiha. Deen in essence means desiring good. What is deen? What is the definition, the simplified explanation of deen? Desiring good. Sahaba then went to ask, desiring good for who, O Nabi of Allah? Could you perhaps elucidate, elaborate? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِكِتَابِهِ وَلِأَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَمَّتِهِمْ. To desire good for Allah, to desire good for the scriptures of Allah, to desire good for the apostles of Allah, to desire good for the leaders of the Muslim Ummah and the general masses. This in essence summarizes deen. I want to speak on the last aspect, and that is desiring good for the general masses. This is also a fundamental ingredient of our iman. It is also an important component of our faith, that we become the benefactors of society. Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali radiallahu anhu, Imam Nawawi rahimahumullah, a great author of the 6th century, has written in the commentary of Muslim Sharif in the first volume, he makes mention of one incident of Hazrat Jarir radiallahu anhu, that once he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sahaba used to come and they used to pledge their allegiance. One was the general pledge that Sahaba would come and make, including the males and the females. Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu idha ja'aka al-mu'minatu yubayi'naka ala an la yushrikna billahi shay'a. O Nabi of Allah, when the women come to you, pledging that they will never ascribe partners with Allah, وَلَا يَسْرِقْنَا, they will never commit theft, وَلَا يَزْنِينَ, they will never commit adultery, وَلَا يَقْتُلْنَا أَوْلَادَهُنَّ, and they will never kill their children, وَلَا يَعْصِينَكَ فِي مَعْرُوفٍ, and they will never disobey you in any matter, then accept their pledge and seek forgiveness on their behalf. So one was a general pledge that was taken from Sahaba, but there were some independent situations where certain Sahaba would come, some isolated situations, and they would, on a personal note between him and the Nabi of Allah, they would make and they would pledge certain noble deeds. So Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali radiallahu anhu came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after having a discussion with Nabi alayhi salam, he left the gathering and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I make you my witness, lifelong I will desire good for the Muslims. Wherever I go, I will help a Muslim. I will make life easy for whoever I meet. Wherever I find how I can help, remove a difficulty, make life easy for someone, inshallah I will do this. So the incident I was making mention of, once he sent one of his slaves to go and purchase a horse. The slave took the money and he went to the shop, and he looked at a particular horse. He decided, met the owner, and the seller negotiated the price, and finally they settled that he will be purchasing the horse for 300 dirhams. He gave the money, took the horse, and he came home. When Jarir radiallahu anhu looked at the horse, he said, Subhanallah, this is a beautiful horse. I think the owner has underpriced this horse. Let's go back to the man. So they go back to the owner, go back to the seller. And Hazrat Jarir radiallahu anhu then introduces himself, the servant that came to purchase the horse. He's my servant, I had deputed him and I had sent him. I think you have undercharged me. And what would you say if I add on another 100 dirhams? Subhanallah. So in all human likelihood, who would decline? He says, well, if you want to add on, Jazakallah, by all means. He says, and if I say from 4, let's make it 500. Subhanallah. And if I say, let's make it 600, 700, 800. Finally, he says, yeah, I think you deserve 800. Allahu Akbar. I think you deserve 800. He gives the man 800 dirhams and he walks out. People meet him, congratulate him. MashaAllah, you bought a new conveyance. What did you pay for it? I paid 800. Really, you're a fool, man. I could get you the same animal for 300. So he says, no, I also could get it for 300. But I pledge to the Nabi of Allah, I will desire good for every Muslim. And at this time, being good to this Muslim was to give him a better amount than what he had actually asked for. Wallah, brothers, this perhaps might be impossible or very difficult for us today, even if this much can come, that if a man walks into my shop, of course, I want to make maximum profit out of him. Ask him what he wants. Like someone told me recently, this happened. I was so impressed. He says, Maulana, I went to a hardware shop. I needed to buy some wood. We were making some cupboards. So I selected a wood that was relatively expensive. The owner of the shop said, what do you want to make? I said, I'm trying to make some cupboards. He says, no, don't waste your money buying expensive wood. Buy this one. This is cheaper. This would suffice for your job. Wallah, when that honesty will come out in the ummah, where Sahaba Ikram asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, which is the noblest of actions? Which action constitutes the maximum benefit and earns the greatest reward in the eyes of Allah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sururun tudkhiluhu ala muslimin. The joy that you can bring to the heart of a Muslim. There can be no greater joy and no greater act than you bringing joy to the heart of a believer. Then the Nabi of Allah explains, Takshifu anhu kurbatan. Either you remove a calamity from his way, taqdi anhu daynan, or you settle a debt on his behalf. Brothers, so many of us here, Allah has given us wealth. For us to settle the debt of one man, it will not infringe on our necessities. Perhaps the maximum it will mean, I will have to make some adjustment in one vacation, and one man can enjoy a house of his own. Someone in my own family, in my own relatives, Allah has given me that money. If I can go and say, bhai, how long are you going to budget and pay 1,000 rand a month? Yeah, take it. How much is it? 50,000. Have it. No problem. Make dua, and that's the end of it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, either you remove a calamity or you settle a debt on his behalf, or tatrudu anhu ju'an, or you remove hunger from his path. And then the Nabi of Allah said, I would prefer walking with my brother to satisfy his need than to sit for 1 month in i'tikaf in Masjid an-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that man who walks with his brother to satisfy his need, to make things easy for him. What is the dua that has been taught to us when we see a Muslim happy? Today, unfortunately, we say, why are you so happy? What happened to you? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach us that. Adhakallahu sinnak. My brother, you looking happy. May Allah perpetually keep you happy. Subhanallah. Allah forgive. Today hypocrisy has creeped into the ummah so much. Hypocrisy and double standards has creeped into the ummah so much that we have been sent as the benefactors of society. We cannot desire good, but Allah forgive, we have dropped even lower than that. We cannot even see the good of the next man. Never mind desire good and make good available. And must I even say one step further, brothers, when someone else speaks good of my brother, we don't even have that ability that we can hear the good of the next man. That is how low we have fallen. When the Muhajireen told Nabi alayhi salam, O Nabi of Allah, the Ansar have excelled us, they comforted us, they gave us their homes, they did everything. Nabi alayhi salam says, no, as long as you make dua for them and praise them, you will enjoy the same reward for the good that they do. The Nabi of Allah has given us a formula of enjoying the good of the entire Muslim world. My brother, mashallah, that man, my hat off for him, Allah has given him wealth. So many people are benefiting from his wealth. But on the contrary, we cannot give and we cannot see others give. Take one, make mention of another incident in Muslim Sharif. Hazrat Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the element of desire in good, it is before the battle of Jamal, he calls his son and he tells his son, oh my son, tomorrow your father will be participating in the battle. By the looks of it, these are the last moments of your father. You know, the greatest worry that's burdening me is my debts. And I leave you in charge to wind up my estate and settle my debts. The father then passes away. The hadith is very lengthy. The point I want to deduce, I come to that focus. So anyway, the father passes away. He arranges in the burial. And then he starts making the calculations. فَوَجَدْتُهُ أَلْفَيْ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَتَيْ أَلْفٍ. He says, after I did the calculations, I found that my father was owing 2,200,000 dirhams. My father went in the battle, he passed away, he entrusted me with this, this was the burden on me. Now definitely that's a colossal task, that's a great figure. 2,200,000 dirhams. But then he goes on to elaborate and explain the reason why his father was indebted. was his father just, you know, abusing the money of others, just going around borrowing and not paying? I quote the words of Muslim Sharif, وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ دَيْنُهُ الَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّ الرَّجُلْ كَانَ يَأْتِيهِ بِالْمَالِ فَيَسْتَوْدِعُهُ إِيَّا فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنْ هُوَ السَّلَفٌ إِنَّمَا أَخْشَى عَلَيْهِ الضَّيْعَ. The reason why my father became indebted was, my father was a very trustworthy person and people trusted him a lot. People had a lot of reliance in him. So often people would come with large sums and address my father and say, oh Zubair, there's 100,000 dirhams, please take care of it. I leave it in your trust as an amanat. My father would decline. And my father would say, no, I'm not going to take it as a trust. For the simple reason, subhanallah, I wonder if there are humans like this in the entire world. My father would decline and say, no, if I take it as a trust, as an amanat, and then it gets misplaced or it is stolen, without negligence on my part, then your money is gone. In other words, that is the ruling. If someone leaves a trust with you, and then not because of any negligence on your part, but it gets lost or misplaced or stolen, then that man cannot claim anything from you. It was just as a trust by you, as an amanat. So Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu would say, you know what, you're going to leave that money with me. Perhaps some unforeseen circumstances could prevail, your money would be lost. Why don't I secure your money for you and let me take this amount as a debt? If I take it as a debt, whatever happens, your money is secured. So in this manner, people would come and leave money as trust. But my father, in the interest of that man, would take the trust as a loan and say, no, I've taken this as a loan. 50,000, okay, I borrowed this money from you. Now whatever happens, I am responsible to give this money back to you. And in this way, people came and gave my father. My father never refused. He took that money and he says, I have borrowed so much money. He never stretched his hand. But when people came to trust him, why desiring good for the ummah, he would then take that wealth and channel it in avenues of good. Brothers, once upon a time, this was the quality of a believer. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. His brothers who had animosity for him, who had hatred for him, and who had plotted his assassination, the Quran makes mention, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا. They separate Sayyidina Yusuf from the father. Understand this here. And they beguile the father, they lie to the father that we're taking him for some entertainment. Yarta, he will eat. Wa yal'ab, and he will play. Wa inna lahu lahafidun, we will take care of him. Sayyidina Yaqub had sighted in this young lad of his that he was going to grow up and become a Nabi. Hence he had a special love and he had a special, you know, compassion for Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Finally the brothers separate him. The Mufassirin have written, when they separated son from the father, they dropped him on the floor. And then they started now arguing, should we kill him or should we just abandon him? Finally they agreed, let's drop him in a deserted well. This was done by his own blood brothers. But what is the teachings of a Nabi? They come to that well. وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. Yusuf alayhi salam pleads as a young boy, as a lad, oh my brothers, what are you doing to me? Is this brotherhood? Is this what you display to me? And they agree with no mercy. In a harsh and a crude way, they unanimously, the Quran says, drop him in this deserted well, infested with insects. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا. Allah sends Jibreel to rescue Yusuf alayhi salam at the bottom of this well. And Allah inspires to him in this tender age of his, that Yusuf, bear it patiently, a time is to come. We will give you such honor. You will narrate these happenings to these very same brothers of yours in more detail than they can tell it to you. You will identify one and each one of them while they will fail to identify you. So this is the hatred they displayed against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway, the future of Yusuf alayhi salam, who can stop the future of Yusuf alayhi salam? It starts unfolding and gradually starts taking shape. From there he comes out, he goes to Egypt, he goes to the minister's house, and in due time and course he becomes the king of Egypt. In the interim, the king seen a vision. I don't want to go through the different explanations. Coming to the point of focus, the king of Egypt sees a vision that seven fat cows have been devoured by seven thin cows, which denoted 7 years of prosperity and then 7 years of famine and starvation. Finally, that period came after many, many decades had passed. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam sitting on the throne of Egypt. And that picture which the Quran described, and Allah had told Yusuf alayhi salam, comes before him and it becomes a reality. He's now sitting on the throne of Egypt in full power and authority. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. The brothers of Yusuf walk into the court. And as they walk into the court, he makes each one of them out. These are those very brothers of mine who dropped me and perhaps forgot about me. They did not recognize him. They thought the chapter was over. The man is dead and gone. Allah brought him and honored him. They came also like everybody else came to come and buy some grain and some corn. Yusuf alayhi salam had a brief meeting with them, but he did not divulge the secret. After having a brief meeting, he ordered that each one of them be given a camel load of corn and grain. And then subhanallah, before dispatching, he addresses one of the servants in the court. وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ جَعَلُوا بِطَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَنْ قَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. He calls one of the servants. He says, you see, these men that have come, these are my brothers. They have brought money, but I feel shy to take money from my blood. How can I take wealth from my own blood? Do me a favor, take this money and put it back in their saddlebags. Whatever they have done, but they are my blood. Can I exploit their desperation to make money? Is that the message that I give on at this stage? Which brothers? Those that dropped him in the well. Those that abandoned him. Those that separated him. But what was the akhlaq of Yusuf alayhi salam? How can I make money? Brothers, let us ask ourselves a question. While every one of us here, perhaps most of us are in a position of employing. Allah has made us owners and bosses. While we entertain the noble endeavor of expanding in our businesses and moving from a basic car to a luxurious car and from a simple home to a wonderful home and from national vacations to international vacations, I wonder if we entertain this frame of mind for our employees when we decide in the salary. Or is it, does Islam advocate a selfish attitude that I will exploit you? This man that is working for me, is he also not building a future? Does he also not have a wife and a child? Or do I only capitalize on my own thing? Do I only plan my future? I'm asking you, brothers, take it to heart. Do you take into consideration to say, as I want to go ahead and I want to expand, those people that are under my employment, they are also humans, then they have equal desires and ambitions. Do we entertain these ambitions on their behalf or not? Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, tell them to go back. This is my blood. I cannot take money from them. This is the akhlaq. I had a wonderful experience 3 weeks ago. We were in Canada. Subhanallah. This is the brotherhood of Muslims. And after I completed the program in Toronto, one brother invited me in the province called Saskatchewan, the capital of which is Regina. So one brother from Toronto insisted that he wants to join me with on the trip, and he wants to come there for the programs. We got to the airport, he didn't have a ticket, he said, book a ticket the last minute. Naturally, it's going to be costly. The same ticket, which is $500, is going to cost you $2,000. So he went, they went to the counter, I'm talking of 3 weeks ago. He went to the counter, they said, no, $2,200. I told him, you know what, that's an exorbitant amount. Just to join me for 2 day program, you'd rather sit here, spend that money somewhere else. But he was somehow very passionate, and he says, no, Maulana, I want to come with you. We decided to go read namaz there. There was an interfaith prayer room. While we were performing salah, one brother came, who had a uniform. He was working at the airport, of Somali origin. So this brother said, this is perhaps my last chance to try. He says, brother, can you do me a favor? You know what, I want to go with the sheikh. He's from South Africa. We're having a program. I wonder if you can just get me a ticket now. If you, you know, can just bypass some formalities. He says, no problem, brother. You perform your salah. After asr, it will be done for you. He took the ticket. He just waved the late booking. And he did it. And he came and he gave it. And he said, make dua for me on your way. That brother, wallah, left an indelible impression on my heart and mind. We didn't know him from a bar of soap. But just on the grounds of this is a Muslim brother, I can make life easy for him. He took du'as for me, and wallah, he taught me a lesson. Brothers, this is the nature of a Muslim. Wherever he is, the Quran says to teach good, to make things easy for someone, to simplify. Take the incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. There is a warrant of arrest for him. He kills a person innocently in Egypt. Finally, one brother comes to him, a Muslim, and tells him that, you know what, Fir'aun and his men, his intelligence want to locate you, why don't you leave Egypt and go? So what inspiration, he then flees from Egypt. And he moves on and he walks in a direction in no man's land. He doesn't know where he's heading for. He has no food, he has no provisions, he's totally stranded. Walking for days and days, he finally comes into Madian. When he comes into Madian, the ulama are saying he had hunger of days. He is totally lost, he has no sense of direction, there is a warrant of arrest against him. He comes and he lies in a land, he doesn't know what is the future. Future is looking totally bleak. He comes under one tree and he rests there. Now, we know when a man travels today, we're traveling in the best of conveyances, yet when you're flying for so long, you're jet-lagged, you're not in a frame of mind, you can't help anyone, you can't even understand what's happening. Sayyidina Musa, in this condition, you know, with so much challenges surrounding him, he comes and he lies under the tree, resting there, totally lonely, stranded, perplexed, doesn't know what the future holds. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَا أَمَدِيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. And while he's lying there, hopeless, helpless, and just wondering what is the future, he finds that there is a well there. The Quran makes mention of this. And the shepherds were coming with their respective flocks to come and give it water. At a distance, he finds two young girls with total modesty withholding their flock and waiting very patiently. And from their dressing, he could see that these were definite Muslims. So he approaches them, ma khatbukuma. He's tired, he's hungry, he's exhausted. But he finds two Muslim women stranded. The sentiments of brotherhood. Wallah brothers, when the world is moving in one direction, and that is the crave of materialism, the crave of amassing, the crave of accumulating, the crave of usurping and snatching from the next man, can we not revive another angle of life to make the world understand there can be another meaning to life? You can also earn to provide for someone else. This is the reason why the Nabi of Allah came. When everybody wants to better his own, can we not become those who want to better the life of someone else? يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Those that give preference to others, even if difficulty comes their way. Anyway, he was motivated by sentiments. Some feeling came into him. He said, my sisters, you look desperate. Why are you standing here? With great modesty. قَالَ تَعْلَىٰ نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْدِرَ الرِّعَاءِ وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. They said, oh stranger, there are a lot of men there. And if we have to go into the crowd, we will rub shoulders with strange men, which is definitely forbidden and prohibited. And perhaps you might wonder why there's no men folk from our home. Our father is old and his age, hence he cannot represent us. So this is our practice. We wait here patiently. When all the shepherds are gone, then gradually we come. We take our flock, we give it water, and then we return home. Wallah, in this moment of desperation, this was enough. To see the desperation of these girls, this Nabi was motivated by sentiments. He said, no, my sisters, you wait one side. He took that flock, he went into the crowd. He moved the people, lifted the lid, gave it water, and then returned the flock to those girls, and he said, back on your way. What was the barakat of this? There is a riwayat, one person came to Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, and he says, oh Abdullah, I'm suffering an ulcer on my knee. Kharajat fi rukbati. There's an ulcer, and blood is flowing profusely. وَقَدْ عَالَجْتُ بِأَنْوَاعِ الْعِلَاجِ وَسَأَلْتُ الْأَطِبَّ فَلَمْ أَنْتَفِعْ بِهِ. I've been to doctors, I've been to physicians, but somehow there is no symptoms of recovery. Could you perhaps, prescribe some dua, some reading, something Islamically that Allah can aid me? So Abdullah bin Mubarak says, yes, definitely. Why don't you make some service available to mankind? And ideally, look for a place where people are living in abject poverty, where even basic water is not available. I promise, dig a well there, فَحْفِرْ هُنَاكَ بِئْرًا, and make water available for those that don't have water. Before that man will take the first sip, Allah will cure you immediately. This man got happy and he went. Nabi alayhi salam says in one hadith, that person whom Allah has given wealth, fame, authority, he must understand after Allah has afforded him these opportunities, Allah will direct some of his creation towards him to have their needs fulfilled. If he understands that this is the due of what my Lord has favored, and he will respond and avail himself in the name of the honor, the fame, the respect, the dignity, the wealth that Allah has given him, then Allah will multiply what he enjoys. But if he will decline, Allah will snatch. If he will decline, the one, look at the such deep words, the one whom Allah has favored, he must understand, coupled with those favors will come the needs of creation. Perhaps your brother, perhaps your neighbor, perhaps your sister, someone would see into it that after all, this is a friend of mine, this is a relative of mine. He will build some hopes in you. Allah will direct his creation. If you will capitalize, Allah will increase. If you will abuse, Allah will snatch. So he says, I went to that place, I dug a well. Allah cured me immediately and permanently. Anyway, Sayyidina Musa, look at the barakat I end with this, brothers. Serving one person, making the need, making it available. When Sayyidina Umar was walking and patrolling the streets of Medina, and he seen a caravan that came then, they were stranded. He said, told his servant, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will judge me, that how have I welcomed these people? He went, he arranged for some food and provisions. He brought it, he gave it to them. The woman that put up the pot of food and she was cooking, and then the children were playing. And he stood one side and he just observed the picture. Then he told his servant, do you know why I'm standing here? So the servant says, no, I don't know. He says, when I came, I seen these faces were sad and grieved, and they were full of sorrow. Now I see them smiling. It just brings joy to me to see one Muslim that is happy. Wallah, this is the desire of the Ummah. And this is the teachings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These girls return home early. The father says, what happened? You came home early today. We met a strange man, and he displayed such unique qualities. We don't know the man from anywhere, but he just sympathized on our condition. The father says, well, that is not the manners I taught you. Go back, oh my daughters, and call that man. Look at the kindness of this Nabi. How Allah Ta'ala opens the future of Musa alayhi salam. Immediately that girl comes, and with such modesty, subhanallah, a message for our sisters. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا قَالَتْ إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا. She comes and says that, oh strange man, My father is calling you to reward you, reimburse you, compensate you for the noble hospitality you displayed. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then comes and he tells her, with great modesty, you will walk behind me so that my gaze does not fall on any part of your body. They finally come, Sayyidina Musa narrates the incident, and this very relation of kindness triggers into a proposal, and this girl becomes the wife of Musa alayhi salam. And this man becomes the father-in-law who was the Nabi of Allah Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam. So really, brothers, as I mentioned, the Nabi of Allah said, the definition of Iman is desiring good. Desiring good for the general masses of this ummah. If we cannot desire good, at least let us say good. Like one person said it so beautifully, and I end with this. Life is so short, there isn't enough time to love. I don't know where people find time to fill it with hatred. Life is so short, there isn't enough time to love. I don't know where people find time to fill it with hatred. May Allah inspire us with the wisdom of this statement and instill and infuse within us this noble quality of desiring good for others. If a young boy comes and is desirous to get married, I have a daughter in my house, my brother has a daughter. Wallahi, if I will direct this boy to my brother's daughter, Allah will send a better proposal to my house. But of course, it will mean me to be man enough to embrace him and to desire good for him. Allah will send the same, if not greater, to me. So let us become those that can praise others. Let us become those that can embrace the good of others. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ حَاسِدًا أَن يَغْتَمَّ وَقْتَ سُرُورِكَ. It is sufficient to render a man jealous if he is unhappy on your happy occasion. That man who can't smile on your happy occasion, that is proof this jealousy in his heart. It's a happy occasion in my brother's family. Let me also be man enough to make this a joyous occasion for me. Let me see the good of my brother. Allah will inspire and favor me with the same good. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us with that akhlaq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.